Time for Monday Money Matters with Chief Economist with AMP, Shane Oliver. He joins me now. Hello, Shane. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. You had to work last Friday.
I did, unfortunately.
See,
some of us did.
The wheels of industry have to keep turning. Someone's got to keep it going. Hey, listen, we didn't speak since last Wednesday, and that was before the CPI figures came out. Are we seriously now not only not looking at an interest rate cut, maybe July, but are we looking at another interest rate hike because of inflation?
Look, the numbers were disappointing, Luke. I was looking for somewhat lower numbers than we got. Inflation came in at 3.6%. I think the Reserve Bank was forecasting 3.5%, and we thought it might have been a little bit below that, maybe 3.4%. But fair enough, that was higher than expected. But I think we've seen a bit of an overreaction here. Every so often, the numbers surprise on the upside or the downside. But the bottom line is the trend is still down. We peaked at around 8%. We're now 3.6%. Maybe a little bit higher than we wanted to be. And that's obviously caused us and many others to push out the timing of interest rate cuts to later this year, and there's a risk of early next year. But I tend to think, although I'm not going to rule it out, I tend to think that all the talk of an interest rate hike, possibly several of them, is a bit overdone, given the way these numbers do blow around a little bit. I really feel for people with a mortgage, so I think that would be disastrous to us if we got another interest rate hike. But I think the reality is that we are going to see a delay in the rate cuts.
Oh, really? Because you were thinking July.
We were thinking mid-year, but these numbers have come in on the high side. The Reserve Bank doesn't have a lot of tolerance for inflation, surprising on the upside, and unfortunately that's what happened. And of course, you know all the usual culprits which caused it. Health, education was two of the big ones, insurance costs going through the roof, and also rents. They're the big ones causing this upside surprise on inflation. All of them have their own little stories. Obviously, insurers are facing an increase in claims after a lot of storms and things. Rents, we know there's a shortage of rental property that's pushing up rents. Education had its biggest rise in 12 years. So there's lots of special factors behind all of them, but the reality is that that's higher inflation than the Reserve Bank would like to see, particularly if you strip out some of the things that fell and focus on the underlying measures. It also came in a little bit higher. So that's unfortunately what's pushed back this timing of rate cuts. But, I can't rule out a resumption of rate hikes. If the next set of numbers are on the high side, then we might go back to rate hikes, which I think would be a major problem for those with a mortgage, because many of them are already on the edge. And if you add in rate hikes, for people who were anticipating we might get some relief, I think that's going to cause a major hit to the economy.
Yeah. Speaking about hits to the economy, I got a press release from a recruitment organisation claiming that they're looking for 1,400 workers for the mid-year seasonal fruit and veggie picking. They're looking for pickers and packers, and they're looking for at least 1,400 seasonal workers. It's a lot of people to try and find work for. Why are we struggling to find these people, I wonder?
Well, it's interesting. We've got population growth, which is, 2.5%, which, to put it in thousands of people, that's 650,000 people, most of whom are immigrants, 550,000 immigrants into the country in the last 12 months. So that's a massive rise in people coming into Australia. Many of those people have joined the workforce. The workforce is growing rapidly. So you'd think it would be a lot easier to find fruit pickers than it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago when the pandemic was on. So that does surprise me a little bit. But I still occasionally do hear of shortages of workers out there in some areas.
Yeah. Those figures, they're looking for workers, that's Victoria alone. I don't know what I don't know what the situation is for the rest of Australia, but there you go. Finding it very hard to fill those job vacancies, and they're really important, aren't they?
They certainly are. And the last thing you want to see for those farmers is to see that fruit go to waste because they can't get it picked in time. And of course, that just makes the problem worse for all of us because, we end up with paying higher prices in the supermarket. So the best outcome is to get this fruit picked, get it into supermarkets and make the best of it.
Yeah, and just quickly, people who did take a long, long weekend will have realised that the petrol prices were just outrageous, and they always are before a weekend, let alone a long weekend. Is there anything the government can actually do?
Well, they could do what ScoMo did a couple of years ago and cut fuel excise, and that could knock off, get the price around 25 cents or 50 cents a litre or something. A big amount of it is fuel excise. But the reality is that that is a difficult thing to do because fuel excise actually goes towards paying costs for roads and so on.
Yeah, but people with electric cars aren't contributing.
Well, they're going scot-free, so that's going to have to change.
And they're still using the roads, and those cars are heavy.
That's right, and I think that's the reality is we're going to have to find some way of road user charges or something, measuring people's kilometres each year and charge them on the basis of that. Because you can't keep going like this with having a, obviously there's not a lot of electric cars out there, but it's a rapidly growing share of the cars on the road. But so fiddling around in fuel excise doesn't really solve the problem. And unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do to the extent that the key driver is what is going on internationally, where we have seen a rise in oil prices. I think we were around $70 a barrel. Now we're around 85 or thereabouts, US dollars a barrel, that is. But by the same token, I do find it very hard to justify the prices we've been seeing in Sydney lately, you know, $2.30 thereabouts. The best I could justify, and it's just, given where oil prices are, given where the Aussie dollar is about $1.80. So I must admit, I have been surprised by the extent to which these prices have gone up.
But it is an interesting question that you pose. Should electric car or electric vehicle users have to pay extra with their registration? Perhaps once a year, they get a bill and their speedometers are red. There has to be a reading of their speedos to see how many kilometres a year they're driving and charge them because they're not paying fuel excise. All right.
Well, I think that's the only fair way to go, ultimately. Yeah. Otherwise, petrol users and diesel users are going to be the one paying for road maintenance.
Exactly. Interesting stuff. Shane Oliver, always good to talk. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, Luke. Have a good one.